Hey, Pardon My Take listeners. You can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Hey, it's PFT here talking about Peloton. Starting is everything when it comes to fitness. Peloton encourages you to get moving by doing what you can. Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. That's why they have instructors who motivate you from day one with thousands of classes from all levels to get you started. I love my Peloton. I'm back on the Buns of Anarchy. I've been back on the bike if you want to join Buns of Anarchy. Wherever you're starting, get moving with a Peloton bike or bike plus rental at www.onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply.
On today's Pardon My Take, we continue the debut of Mount Rushmore season with the next two Mount Rushmore guests. We have our fifth coming on Friday. We told you there were five. We cheated a little bit, but it is Ryan Russillo and Rachel Nichols today, the Mount Rushmore of signs you're going through a midlife crisis, and the Mount Rushmore of NBA storylines in the 2017-18 season. We also have Bachelor Talk for guys who don't watch The Bachelor, and because it is Wednesday, Guys on Chicks. Before we get to all of that, have you ever been inside a Bass Pro Shop? How about a Cabela's? If you like nature, golfing, grilling, hiking, kayaking, fishing, hunting, or just feeling the warmth of the sun, you don't know what you're missing. Husbands, wives, fathers, mothers, kids, grandkids, there's something for everyone at Bass Pro Shops and Cabela's. With free seminars, unmatched selection, and a friendly, knowledgeable staff that can get you set for any outdoor experience, whether it's your first time with a spinning reel in your hand or to gear up for your typical weekend on the water, Bass Pro Shops and Cabela's can be the getaway to your next outdoor adventure. For more information on free events and family activities at Bass Pro Shops and Cabela's near you, visit www.basspro.com/stores and www.cabelas.com/stores. Bass Pro Shops and Cabela's, your adventure starts here. It is summertime. You're going to want to get in there. You're going to want to get on the water, do some fishing, do some kayaking. You got to check out Bass Pro Shops and Cabela's. All right, let's go. Bye!
It's Pardon My Take, presented by Barstool Sports.
Welcome to Pardon My Take, presented by SeatGeek. Today is Wednesday, June 20th. Right now, I would say I'm a mix of Giannis and KD. I like going to the hole a little more than KD does. I like bumping into people a little more physical than KD, but I like to shoot the ball a little more than Giannis. So that's what I like to compare myself to. And also a little Tracy McGrady. I get compared to him a lot, and I like that one a lot too. Those are the three amazing players. It doesn't feel bad to be in the same conversation as them. Michael Porter Jr. had that quote.
I'd like to compare myself to my stick game to, I don't know, like Peter North, Ron Jeremy. And, you know, mix in a little bit of Warren Buffett in there, too. It feels good to be in the same company as those guys.
So it is NBA draft season. Draft is Thursday night. Michael Porter Jr. Saying that he's happy that he's just in the conversation with the past, present, and future of the NBA. Mm-hmm. When he was the only one who said the conversation is the perfect way to kick off getting ready for the NBA draft. The guy who didn't even play at Missouri says that he is basically the NBA Finals MVP if the NBA Finals MVP manned up a little.
Speak it into existence. Yeah. That's the secret. Have you ever read that book, The Secret? I mean, I haven't read it, but I know a lot of
people. You
know,
is that where you find the G-spot?
Yeah. So it's 2 inches inside and then directly up. No, it's that book that says the secret to getting everything that you want in life is to just pretend like you already have it.
Ooh.
So just speak it into existence. Also known as just lying.
Yeah.
So if you're really good at lying, then you can go really far.
So
I respect his confidence.
A lot of confidence.
I like that. And I mean, NBA general managers, we know from recent experience, are dumb enough to be incepted into really weird things.
Ooh, he is comparable to Kevin Durant.
Now that I think about it, I've been saying that for years. He's like a little bit of MJ mixed with LeBron.
I need to see that on the ESPN chart, the comparables. Mm-hmm. Kevin Durant, Giannis, Tracy McGrady.
Yeah.
So the NBA draft, I feel like, I don't know why, but this year it doesn't feel like there's a lot of buzz. Maybe because it's all centers. So the big man are ruling the day, DeAndre Ayton, who signed with Puma. Red flag.
So that's a red flag for you. I think Puma's cool.
Well, it was a red flag when Trae Young was going to do it, but DeAndre Ayton did it, and then he just said, yeah, I just want to make bank. Mm-hmm. And I can respect the hell out of anyone who just says outright, like, yeah, Puma paid me the most. If Nike had paid the same amount, I'd be a Nike guy.
As a big cat yourself, you should be more respectful of Puma.
True. Good point.
What do you
Puma
think,
Sweet.
Hank?
Shout out.
What's hot in the streets?
OG.
I'm going to save my thoughts for about 10 minutes.
Okay.
Please hold.
Hank,
okay.
Okay. Hank's in
Hank's
in the mood
dealing
right now
with some stuff. So the NBA draft, my other favorite part about Thursday night coming around is that we get to rip apart a bunch of 18 and 19 year olds. Because if you look at it's the
phrase,
key.
Let's rephrase that.
Okay, you get to undress a bunch of 18 and 19 year olds.
Okay, that's better.
Okay, any draft is like this, where if you look at a prospect long enough, you can basically figure out a way that they are the worst player ever.
Yeah, they're so, like a magic eye poster where everybody turns into like Keith Van Horn.
Yeah, Luka. Yeah, ooh. Deep Keith
cut.
Van Horn was legit.
Yeah,
don't you bash Keith
Wally
Van Horn.
Wally Szczerbiak, is that better?
Yeah, Wally Szczerbiak could fill it up.
He could.
That's what he could do.
That was an 18-year-old.
Ohio.
That was an 18-year-old that could fill it up on film.
Oh, yeah. But Luka Doncic is like the number one prospect for that, where he's dominated over in Europe. And if you talk to you could talk to two scouts, and one could tell you that he's the best prospect ever, and the other could say that he's fat and he's been playing against shitty players overseas.
I'm going to go with best prospect ever.
Okay.
I'm officially a Luka guy.
Yeah.
I've never seen a second of film of him.
We actually have Wendell Carter Jr. coming on Friday.
Yeah.
So
I think he's better than Bagley.
I like that. I like that. That's a hot take that you can throw out there. You just learned enough of those.
I just like him because we interviewed him.
Yeah.
He was actually pretty cool. I liked him. Like, he's, 19 years old?
Mm-hmm.
This was what was infuriating about him. He was born in the year 1999.
Yes.
When you see these guys walk across the stage, they were, I think they're all like 1999, 1998.
Yeah.
So that's really tough to see. Next year, it's going to be even worse when they were born in 2000.
Yes, it is. It's going to be very, very tough to deal with.
Yeah.
And I guess, really, if you're going to draft, just draft for length and athleticism. Mm-hmm. You can never go wrong with that. Strength.
Strength. Big asses.
Huge asses.
If I was coaching one of these guys in the lead up to the draft process, I would tell him, get some butt implants. Like, get out there looking like a Kardashian. You'll ingratiate yourself to your teammate as long as you're not on Tristan Thompson's team.
Let me ask you a question real quick about Luka Doncic. Red flag or not, he said that when he comes to America and starts playing the NBA, he wants to win titles, he wants to win MVPs, and he also wants to go on a date with Rachel from Friends. Because I guess they just got that wherever Luka Doncic is from.
Yeah, the rabbit ears are picking up Rachel's apartment nips over there.
That actually speaks to Jennifer Aniston being so transcendent that we're in the year 2018 and there's 18-year-olds being like, all I want is a date with Rachel.
Right. They probably haven't even watched Friends over there.
No.
Like maybe it's on DVD.
Yeah, but wait till Luka finds out what happened to Pam Anderson.
Oh, God, that's going to be tough.
Yeah, well, let's not tell him.
Yeah,
just get some hepatitis.
She's still hot.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, yeah. You
we'll
think?
Just skip over the
too
part where
memories.
She dated Kid Rock.
Yeah, too many memories. We also
do you think Pam Anderson would date me?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, I mean, I
fit
right into her wheelhouse.
Straighten your hair again.
Yeah.
We have the World Cup as well. Yogo Benito. Russia.
Yeah, Russia is a wagon.
As advanced. What's that face?
That was my pick.
That is your pick.
Yeah. Yeah, Russia is really, really good when they're playing against the world's like 70th ranked teams.
Yes, yeah.
They don't play down to their opponents.
The refs are helping them.
I got a Rick Riley joke. Hey, Russia, when they win the World Cup, I guarantee you they're going to the White House.
That's really good. Mm-hmm. He's definitely going to tweet that. Yeah. That's a call your
I'm
shot.
I'm squatting on that
yeah,
one
that's
right
a
now.
Call
I'm
your
actually,
shot.
I'm shocked he hasn't done it already.
Yes. Let's see. Senegal got basically gifted a game against who'd they play? I don't know.
Poland.
Poland, yeah, Poland.
The mighty Polacks.
Poland, bad luck again.
Yeah.
So that just kind of follows. Is it bad luck if it just follows you around forever?
Well, if you design screen door submarines and you send a rocket to the moon at night and your tanks only go backwards, you kind of make your bed.
Yeah.
Do you guys like the morning and afternoon games or do you wish there was some at night?
Love them. It's free sports. It's basically you wake up and you have sports until baseball starts.
It's definitely a detriment
to doing anything before noon, though.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times I like to get up and make
watch
myself a cup of coffee. It's definitely conflicting with my get up time.
Yes.
Which, thank God for DVR. So I DVR the World Cup games, and you got to watch Get Up Live because if you miss something, you miss that.
You cannot miss
that. You can't catch that on the second go.
No, you cannot. And then the other big story from the World Cup is Neymar is hurt. So I feel like Neymar's always hurt.
He gets hurt right before the World Cup.
Yeah, but he got ten fouls committed against him, so now he's hurt.
Yeah, well, he tore his ACL like five times. He suffered like 10 back injuries all in the first half against Switzerland.
Yep.
I'm surprised that he lasted as long as he did because those were some brutal, brutal fouls.
Oh, man, he got kicked in the shins, on the shin pads, but still hurts.
I blame Odell Beckham.
Ooh,
because,
go on.
Yeah, because the hair. So that's all the rage in the World Cup this year. You're always looking at, like, what's the new hairstyle. It's usually either, like, a weird new hairstyle or a very specific new type of cleat.
Mm-hmm.
I remember back in South Africa, everybody was wearing, like, neon cleats out of nowhere.
Yes.
This year, all...
I blame Oregon for that.
Yes, you can absolutely do that. But this is the year of Odell Beckham's haircut making it into soccer. People forget Odell Beckham was a great soccer player. If he was a true patriot, maybe he would have been on the U.S. men's national team.
True.
And we would have made the World Cup.
That's true. Odell Beckham would have been awesome at soccer.
He would have been really good.
He would have saved America. I think I disputed you on this point last week, but I've come around. It definitely hurts that U.S. isn't in there. As much fun as I had laughing about it, mm-hmm. it really does feel like you just kind of are sitting there waiting for our game to start.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, okay, so it's Senegal, Poland.
4.5 years from now.
Awesome.
That's when it starts.
Yeah. And then we get trashed by everyone else in the world being like, haha, where's America's team?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, dude. We're too busy playing football.
Real football.
Yeah, real football.
We're too busy going into free agency in the NBA. We don't have time for that.
Yeah, we're too busy subtweeting each other in the NBA.
Listen, we're busy over here doing a real sport, which is comparing Michael Jordan to LeBron James.
Yeah, come on. You couldn't do that.
I don't have time for that.
Yeah. All right, should we do Bachelor Talk for guys that don't watch The Bachelor?
Let's do it. So last night, Becca went on a one-on-one with Garrett.
Mm.
He tells her he is divorced and was married for 2 months.
Okay.
Jean,
that doesn't count as a divorce, by the way.
2 months?
Yeah.
That's an annulment.
You're married for 2 months. That's just like, okay, that was all parties admit a mistake.
Yeah.
Gene,
that means you're just really, really horny.
Right. That's like saying Dennis Rodman is divorced.
Yeah. It's like saying I love you so much right before you have sex. Mm-hmm.
Gene Blanc or Jean Blanc.
Uh-huh.
And then there's parentheses that says, Call Ignacio.
That literally translates to acid wash, by the way.
Is Call Ignacio a position, a job?
Call what?
Colognisseur.
Colognisseur. Maybe he likes good smelling whale shit. Is that what cologne's made out of?
No, he's the one who, like, when you walk into whatever it is, Neiman Marcus, yeah, or Marshalls or Nordstrom, and they just start spraying you.
Yeah,
that's what that guy is.
That'll be a really good way to poison someone. Kim Jong Un, if you're out there listening, and you want to just like spray nerve agents on people, don't send your people to airports. Just have them post up in like a Dillard's, with like a little nerve agent. But okay, so he's
maybe
a Kohl's.
And on the group date, he gives Becca perfume and tells Becca he's falling in love with her. She's not on the same page and sends him home. And he tells her he thought he was telling her what she wanted to hear. Five guys go home total. Ryan, Mike, who works at PFF.
Ooh.
Sad.
Jean Blanc, Nick,
we'll have to wait for the All-22 to come out to determine how good or poorly Mike did.
Jean Blanc definitely didn't take a shower the entire time he was on The Bachelor.
Well, if you're a colognisseur, that just means that you don't bathe.
Right.
I love cover-ups so much.
Yeah. There was also a show on The Bachelor afterwards, I heard, called The Proposal, which was, it was a dating show like The Bachelor, but it's one episode only, and the girls can't see the guy. They get asked a series of questions, and then in rounds, he like eliminates them, and the guy can see all the girls, and then at the end, he has to propose to one of them. It was
so it's like ultra speed dating.
Yeah.
So the girl can't see the guy?
Girl can't see the guy, but the guy can see the girls.
I would be really good at that.
So he was literally just picking like based off what their answers were, but he could see them.
Mm-hmm.
So it ended up where like the four most attractive girls somehow made it to the last round.
This is just, I love reality television because they just got to keep one-upping each other. And it's eventually like in the year 2025, it's just going to be a show called Fuck a Stranger.
Mm-hmm.
And you just watch two strangers fuck. And then they have to have a kid and raise it.
Mm-hmm.
And we watch that happen
as
well.
The Truman Show.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, I think we reached our apex back in like 1996. You remember Who Wants to Marry a Millionaire?
Yes.
That was pretty edgy. We haven't gotten back to that point yet. The Proposal sounds pretty similar, though.
I would say reality television peaked with I Love New York. Tiffany Pollard. Was that her name?
Yep.
Yeah.
There was an art exhibit for her in Brooklyn the other day.
Yes, she was the best. Pumpkin, her rivalry with Pumpkin. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Man.
What about Rock of Love, though?
Both Bret Michaels.
That was a pretty good one, too.
Both of those shows, I thought Bret Michaels was like the greatest rock musician of all time.
Yeah.
Because I was so young, like he was my introduction until I was like, oh my God, this guy's like just...
This is what rock stars do. They go on VH1 to try to find a girlfriend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They wear bandanas because they're bald except for the very like ends of their hair, which they grow out to their waist.
Yeah. The Hulk Hogan. All right. Let's do Hot Seat Cool Throne.
All right. I'll start.
You got something to say.
My hot seat is humanity.
Okay.
So famed paleontologist Dr. Jack Horner, who's been the consultant and was like the inspiration for one of the doctors on Jurassic Park,
mm-hmm.
came out and said that we're only 5 years from actually recreating real dinosaurs.
Okay, let's do it.
Whoa.
Wait, using chickens?
Yeah.
I don't like that. You got to fill in the DNA gaps with the frogs so that they turn the dinosaurs gay.
I've never seen Jurassic Park.
Whoa.
What?
Yeah.
That is wild.
Are you doing
a bit right now?
No, I'm not doing a bit. I've never seen it. No, any of them.
Was it against your religion?
No, I just didn't see it. I somehow missed it. Miss something and you're just like,
not
eventually time goes by and you're like, there's nothing I can do.
And you're growing up, you'd be like, don't have the VHS in your possession. Like,
right. I just missed it. And like, there's no going back. I feel like it would be kind of a weird move to be like, oh yeah, I'm going to go back and watch all the Jurassic Park. How many are there?
There's only the first two good ones.
And then the new one's pretty good.
Yeah, never saw it. Never saw it. Okay. Never saw that. Never seen Star Wars start to finish.
Yeah, like, me neither. That's nerd stuff.
There's just some things I just missed.
We should sit down and do a live screen of Jurassic Park. Ooh, have you live tweet it.
Yeah,
let's do that right after. Something.
Yeah, SpongeBob and Playmakers. Okay, yeah, perfect.
I say we do it, though. Like, I'm confused what took us so long to develop a real Jurassic Park. There should just be a theme park.
The movie, like the dinosaurs take over and just
it's a movie.
Yeah, even I know that happens.
Yeah, so
that's what happens.
Spoiler alert. Okay. Yeah, and then Tony kills Christopher.
Fuck.
But Tony, I mean, like by Tony, I mean the big T Rex, and Christopher's like the raptor
who's addicted to heroin.
Yeah, he's addicted to heroin.
Yeah.
No, I say we do that. We should do that, and we should also rebuild the Titanic. Mm. Call it Titanic 2.
Yeah,
and put "fuck you, God" on the bottom of it,
and just have it just troll. Well, actually, no. I mean, icebergs don't even exist anymore.
True.
So, that was on the bottom of the Titanic?
No, it said only God himself, or not even God himself could sink the ship.
Mm-hmm.
Oops.
Yeah.
Oops.
Whoops.
Jimbo.
And then my cool throne is Puma.
Oh.
Okay.
So they signed Zaire Smith, DeAndre Ayton, and Marvin Bagley, and named Jay-Z their creative director.
Wow. So Puma's back.
Does Jay-Z know this?
Yes.
So the clothes will only be available on Tidal.
Mm-hmm.
Make it exclusive. That's the first step into gaining relevance again.
Yeah.
But I think Puma's going to be on the comeback. Like, even remember when players started going to Adidas a few years ago?
Yes.
And everyone was like kind of shitting on it. Like,
yes.
James Harden's shoes came out. Everyone shat all over him. Now Adidas is back. Puma's on the five-year come up.
I like Puma. I want to say, for the record, I like their jumpsuits.
Mm.
There's a little like 80s panache to wearing Puma.
You walk feel like a footy guy.
Puma, and people are like, okay, I don't know what that guy's deal is, but if he's wearing Puma, he's into something weird.
He's probably a bookie, is what someone in a Puma jumpsuit looks like.
Yep. Shout out to Jules.
Shout out to Jules.
That's it.
All right, okay. PFT, go ahead.
My first hot seat is memes. Mm. All memes.
Mm.
Never.
According to numerous
documents. Never, ever, ever.
According to numerous documents and sources, Alex Jones has warned that Article 13 is going to ban all memes and charge a posting tax.
Hmm.
So,
a meme tax?
No, just what, a posting what is in a general.
Meme? Yeah.
Yeah, where does a meme start? Where does a meme start and just like
usually a meme,
where does a take stop and a meme start?
A meme ends when I tweet it, so we know the end point.
Oh, it's when Darren Revelle co-ops it.
When Darren Revelle puts it on the Revelle Times.
Yeah. I'm actually in favor of a meme tax just to put Darren Revelle down a few notches.
Yeah, a meme tax would be wild.
Because
then you, like, people...
You really have to make sure that it's worth it to deploy a meme.
Yeah.
It's like that whole, the idea of, I think Chris Rock said that guns should be free, but bullets should cost $1 million each.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Twitter's free, but if you want to post a meme, you got to pay. You got to pay the piper.
I don't hate that. Okay,
you can have my memes when you pry them from my lotiony hands.
Yes,
that's what I say. Also, my hot seat: New England Patriots.
Ooh,
more trouble in paradise.
Uh-oh, Hank,
up in New England, Hank. This will be especially interesting for you. Reports came out that the Patriots did shop Rob Gronkowski for a trade.
Allegedly,
according to reports, and they only did it to teams that they trust. So
but
that just means like coaches that are from the Belichick coaching tree that he's installed as puppets.
But wait, now they can't trust him anymore.
Now they can't trust him.
Because now it's come out.
Well, they can't trust one of those teams.
Interesting.
Fake news.
So if Matt Patricia winds up dead in Lake Michigan tomorrow, you know what happened to him.
Interesting.
You think it's fake news?
Yes.
I think they shopped them.
I think it's sweet that they are only trusting, you know, those trades to guys that they know. It's like you're rehoming a dog.
Yeah.
To a family with like a big farmhouse upstate.
Like, we can't give you the medicals, but mm-hmm. we trust us that Gronk is totally healthy.
Right. My third hot seat.
Jesus,
I got three
Christ.
Of them. This is a big one though. Racism sniffing dogs mm-hmm. are on my hot seat. I don't know if you've been up on the internet streets recently, but there is a puzzlingly popular account called Racism Dog who will just find people being racist online.
Racism Watchdog.
Watchdog, excuse me. They'll quote tweet something.
It'll be a big time different account.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Just a racist dog.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they just
it's like Triumph.
Yeah. So they just quote tweet somebody who's being racist online, and then they just type woof afterwards, and it's developed quite a following. And today, it ate the trash. The racism watchdog ate the trash. It quote tweeted someone. Let me pull up the story so I don't get this wrong. There was an article about a lady that was on a bus that said, like, I'm going to kill white people.
Mm-hmm.
And they quote tweeted that and said, woof. Now, that's problematic because some people were saying, hey, purpose of this account is to identify systemic racism and not just bigotry.
So systemic racism watchdog.
Yeah. So
does it just tweet it? Does it woof at every Masters tweet?
Yes, it does. So it said today that it was shutting the account down for a while. Running the account is an emotional labor that we're not cut out to do every day. And self-care is important. And so I went down a little bit of a wormhole with the Racism Watchdog and their owners, because their owners also have an account.
Yep.
This is very important.
Of course.
And also, like a couple days ago, they started a Patreon for people to give them money.
Oh, this is perfect.
For running the account.
This is perfect.
And they're like, hey, if you give us $500, then we'll make your dog the avatar for the Racism Watchdog.
Oh, my God. This is perfect.
So the owners of this account are having a meltdown right now. And this is just Twitter in 2018.
It is. Like, this couldn't sum it up better. You have someone who has an account where they just – their entire account is to, put other people on blast.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they get it back, they have a mental health breakdown. And before they do that, they ask people to donate to their Patreon.
Yeah, I do like self-care.
That's so perfect.
I'm going to start using self-care more often.
I need a lot of self-care.
Yeah, whenever I
at least
do
twice
something
a day.
Stupid, yeah. I got to take care of some stuff.
Usually self-care in the morning and at night.
Yeah, at night right before you, maybe in the shower too.
Yeah, well, if you have writer's block, self-care usually fixes
good
that.
Good distraction.
Yes.
Feel a lot. Well, it doesn't really, because you just get sleepy afterwards.
True.
My cool throne, my first one is T.O.
Ooh.
T.O.'s on the cool throne. He ran a 4.43 40 hand-timed. Yesterday.
Hand-timed.
And he is hanging out with Julio Jones.
Okay.
And giving him advice on how to deal with contract negotiations.
Oh, my God. So if you are Thomas Dimitroff, the GM of the Falcons,
mm-hmm.
how scared are you when you see that, like, bottom line? T.O. is giving contract advice to Julio Jones.
Yeah. Well, it's funny you bring that up, because the Falcons are pissed off at Julio Jones hanging out with Terrell Owens.
You think?
Yeah.
That basically means we're not signing Julio Jones back.
But I also think that T.O. is playing chess while we're all playing checkers, because by running this 4-4-3, he's silently putting out there, hey, I'm not going to my own induction in the Hall of Fame. I'm still available. I can still run. So maybe if I bring Julio Jones down far enough,
mm-hmm.
you can cut him and then sign me.
Yeah.
So
I don't hate it.
I like that. I like what he's doing there. My other cool throne is Robert Griffin III.
Okay.
So he did an interview, and he said that he is nurturing Lamar Jackson. So he's taking Lamar Jackson under his wing. So he's positioning himself right now as the Lamar Jackson whisperer.
That is the smartest thing he's ever done.
He's brilliant.
Like, I'm so crucial to this team. Mm-hmm. Because I'm the one who's keeping Lamar Jackson, mm-hmm. you know, on the straight and narrow.
Yes. So
he didn't even need it, but RG3 is like, you can't cut me.
Yeah.
I'm Lamar Jackson's guru.
Uh-huh. I was Lamar Jackson before Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
So you need me around. Hey, Lamar, you're going to want to pick out a few oak trees to practice your accuracy.
Hey, Lamar, first tip, don't tear your ACL every single season.
Yeah. Don't throw out palm trees. They're too skinny. An oak tree can withstand it. Plus, they're about as fast as Michael Crabtree.
Doesn't Greta have a sister?
Greta does, and her sister's name, Grit.
Ooh, we should need Lamar Jackson dating her.
Also cool throne for Robert Griffin III, because if you saw his Instagram the other day, It was a picture of him, go figure, playing quarterback with his tongue sticking out. And Greta commented that, what'd she say, like that magical tongue with three tongue emojis, that famous tongue.
They cyber sex in front of us.
Yeah. I like it.
It's hot.
Yeah.
It's really hot.
Unblock me, Greta.
All right. We have a, my hot seat, is Bryce Harper. So Bruce Harper shaved his beard because he's in such a bad slump that he thought, hey, I'm just going to change up my look and people will just forget that I stink now.
Yeah.
So he's batting .217 in a contract year, by the way. So I don't know what's going on with Bruce, but anytime someone's like, hey, I'm going to get a haircut, you're getting a haircut, shaving your beard, something, you're hiding something.
Well, he was also playing against the Yankees, and they don't allow beards.
Maybe he just doesn't. Maybe he's hiding that he stopped doing something this year, and so he's, you know, not good anymore.
Or maybe just recognize that having a playoff beard when your team gets eliminated in the first round every single year is stolen valor.
It's weird seeing him without a beard, though. My other hot seat is me because I'm getting dragged on Twitter for having gray hair, and I was wondering if you guys think I should dye my hair.
Yes, Coach K style.
Really?
Yeah, jet black.
Okay. Because, like, I'm really getting dragged. Like, it's getting worse. It's getting worse and worse by the day, and everyone's like, oh, you're so gray. That's so, so sad.
I think you should dye gray.
Oh.
Lean into
full
it?
Full silver fox?
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say something I probably – all right. At some point this year, maybe Four Hymns will hook me up. See if I can get a touch-up so people can – a little paint job.
I don't know if they do hair color, though.
Well, they better. They should start right now.
Get on it right now?
Yeah, get on it.
Just for men. Finally, hair coloring for men, for men.
For men. men. And then my cool throne is Stephen A. Smith, who's been in the news a lot recently. But that's here's another. I don't know what's going on with Stephen A. Smith.
I told you. He is saying like more and more preposterous takes and weird stuff just so that he can get cut so he can go out and reunite with Skip Bayless.
Okay, so Stephen A. Smith's body is on the cool throne. He said, I used to think the almond milk was best. But then somebody told me, a trainer told me, there's too much estrogen up in there. In the almond milk, that's right. You don't want to walk around with man boobs if you don't have to. I got away from that. So he's good. He basically, I think his trainer's Billy Football, because that was Billy Football's entire like training regimen is don't drink that, it will give you tits. Mm-hmm. Everything else, like he didn't actually know anything. But Stephen A. Smith no longer has tits.
So almonds are all female? Is that what he's saying?
I don't know.
Fellas.
It feels like the weirdest things have estrogen in them, right? Like IPAs now give you tits.
Yeah, well, that's been true for a while.
Almond milk.
Well, we don't
know
if that's true. Actually, that was Billy that told us.
Again, Billy Football. Right. So it's just basically just listing a bunch of things that give you tits because I guess half the world has tits and you're right half the time.
That's a really good point. Maybe Phil Mickelson has been sponsored by almond milk this whole time.
Although he's kind of lost his tits.
They're peaking out there.
Yeah. The time is they're kind of starting.
Time is not being.
Yeah,
at least 50 years old.
Yeah, they're starting to get down there. Yeah. Troop a little.
That's good though. I'm looking forward to seeing Stephen A. Smith like with a six pack. Oh my God! If you gave Stephen A. Smith a six pack, he would do nothing but post shirtless selfies
all the time.
Yeah.
Just rip it off all the time.
Uh-huh.
Before we get to Ryan Russillo, if you haven't heard, we switched to the Cash App. By now, you know it's the number one ranked app in finance and lets you do the most with your money. Whether you want to pay people back, buy and sell Bitcoin, deposit your paycheck right into the app, or order a free custom cash card to spend anywhere you like. And now the cash card is more powerful than ever with Cash App's latest feature, Cash Boost. The Cash Card's Boost program lets you get instant discounts every time you swipe your card. Right now, you can get a dollar off every purchase you make at coffee shops across the country when you pay with your Cash Card. And it doesn't stop there. I'm looking at the app right now, and I see discounts like 10% off at Chick-fil-A, 15% off at Shake Shack, and more. They're rolling out new boosts for the Cash Card constantly, so follow Cash App on Instagram and Twitter to find out what the boosts are next. To get boosted, download the Cash App, get your free Cash Card, and select your boost. Also, don't forget, when you download the app, you can tweet your cash tag to @partofmytake, and we are giving away money every single episode. Bubba, who'd we give money to last time?
Remy Monahan.
Ooh,
son.
Remy. Okay, Martin. Nice. Uh-huh.
@RemyBoy.
All right, so do that. Download the Cash App, tweet us your cash tag, and you too can win free money every single episode. All you got to do is tweet @partofmytake with your cash tag and you can possibly win. We're also brought to you by Lisa. $160 off. This is the best deal that Lisa's ever giving us. Lisa.com/barstool. one mattress for every 10 sold and one tree planted for every order received. After some research, we learned that men and women think differently about sleep. Men use words like recharge and optimize. They want it to be efficient and effective, while women use words like relax and recover. It's more of a place to decompress after a long day. What we can all agree on is that we do more in the bedroom and on our mattresses than sleep. We relax and recover with a book, television, or tea. We constantly think of our bedroom space as a personal sanctuary. The idea of a deeper rest speaks to the personal contribution to Lisa's social mission and the personalization of rest. It's more than sleep. Lisa Mattress was designed to provide support and pressure relief to every body type and sleeping for a deeper night's sleep. I sleep on a Lisa mattress, so you know that they can withstand any body type. You know what I'm saying? So everyone check out lisa.com/barstool. $160 off. $160 off. If you don't like it, you get 100 nights free. $160 off at lisa.com/barstool. The mattress comes shipped right to your door, so you don't have to go and, you know, lug it and put it on your car or anything like that. Comes right to your door and you're ready to sleep. lisa.com/barstool. $160 off. Check it out right now. Okay, here it is. Ryan Russillo. We now welcome on the fourth member of the Mount Rushmore, a first-time Mount Rushmore recurring guest. It is Ryan Russillo. First of all, like, where does this rank in honors that you've received in your life?
Top 40.
Top 40?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a lot of honors. I don't think anybody actually gets 40 honors in their life.
You name two other honors in the top 40.
I won most unique in eighth grade.
Okay.
That's not an honor, actually.
That's just the weird kid.
They give that to the strange kid that, like, has disturbing interests.
I didn't win most unique. As I've been moving, I went through stuff, and I found a middle school yearbook, and then I saw who won most unique, and I just realized how bad stuff was in the late 80s, because they picked two Asian kids, and I went, that's so bad.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't even pick... We honestly were just voting for two kids, and then I'm like, man, that's just... So I actually didn't... You know what? You caught me in a lie immediately. I didn't win most unique in 88.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the other lie was the top 40. It's more like top four?
It's top
Talkers,
two.
Van Pelt and I won Talkers 100. We were 82nd in best radio show.
Ooh.
Right behind the Joe Morgan Yahoo Baseball Hour.
Well, nice. Joe Morgan was pretty knowledgeable about the game. What? So you only got half that award then? Because it was you and SVP.
Well, and actually it was all SVP because it was the Scott Van Pelt show.
Mm. No, a lot of, trust me though, a lot of times, whatever recognition, like, you know what? That one's not even mine. So
mm-hmm.
Good call.
Yeah.
Over two.
Well, guess what? You're on the Mount Rushmore of recurring guests for Part of My Take.
I'm
so
pumped.
Yeah. Just take your honor and run with it.
Yeah, it's big time. Big come up for you to be on this.
Anything?
You're going to get a t-shirt.
Sure, whatever
you want. Actually, we don't make shirts that just are huge around the pecs.
Yeah, so we'll get you a tank. We'll get you a tank top. Before we do our Mount Rushmore, can you give us, because this is going tomorrow before the draft, you're a draft guru, Draft Nick.
Sounds Russian.
Give us a hot take that we haven't heard about the draft.
A team outside of the lottery trades up for Doncic.
Ooh, I like that. Do you think Doncic can get rid of his baby fat?
You guys knew he was fat, huh?
Yeah, oh yeah. Oh, come on. Listen.
No, I scouted the other night.
I've seen all the tape.
Not a big deal. Just on the phone with a lot of guys. And he goes, you know, Doncic is getting fatter.
Yeah.
Which is weird because he's still playing.
Mm-hmm.
How do you get fatter when you keep playing?
LeBron James gained 7 pounds per game. Mm-hmm. So.
Baby LeBron.
Maybe he's the second GOAT.
What country is he from?
You ever notice when people argue for LeBron, they make him like 290 pounds.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a tank.
I've been saying that for years. They add, like, it's him. They add 10 pounds to his weight every time you mention him. And with KD, you add an inch to his height every time you mention him.
Yeah, it's incredible. Because, like, there's a pretty good chance LeBron's not nearly as thick as he used to be. And I think it's because, you know, as you get older, it's like the Duncan thing. Get thinner, play longer. And he's probably, like, 250. But if somebody's trying to win the debate against Jordan, they just make him 270 plus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's very a good strategy.
True.
It's very true.
So wait, where's Doncic from again?
Slovenia.
Mm. Is that a real country?
Yeah, it's right next to Serbia, right below Yugoslavia,
and above Montenegro.
Yeah, right there.
Okay,
it's all right there.
Okay, I was gonna say, like, what do they eat over there? Pierogies? He's been like, he got some of that agent money, and so he just spent it all on like a big batch of pierogies that mm-hmm. he's got stored in his shed.
I feel like you're assuming his diet, and I don't really appreciate that.
Okay. Yeah, that's true. All right, that's fair. All right, let's do the Mount Rushmore. So we're doing the Mount Rushmore of signs you're going through a midlife crisis. Now, we picked this totally random. Just to give like an example of something that would be a sign that you're having a midlife crisis, yeah, is to pick up, yeah, sell your house in Connecticut, move to LA, and try to become a screenwriter at the age of 46. That would be a sign of a midlife crisis.
Yeah, if I were 46.
Oh, how old are
48?
You?
48.
Early 40s.
Oh, early. No, you're like 44.
LeBron. You're like LeBron. We're going to add a year to your age every time we mention you.
I'm 42.
Oh, okay. Wow. Oh, don't get mad about it. Jesus, yeah, man. Yeah, it sounds like you're upset.
You're spring chicken.
Yeah. So that would be an example.
We apologize for you being so young.
Yeah. So, all right. Let's do Mount Rushmore of signs that you're going through or might be going through midlife crisis. You can start, then PFT, then me. We're going to do a snake draft, so it goes two picks. We're going to get this right. It's only three of us. Mm-hmm. Hank's dealing with a war against the DMV. So you start, Russillo. I'm sure this is going to be tough for you. You don't have any personal experiences to draw on this from.
Should I save the longest one for last, or should I just come out of the chute with it?
Well,
it's a strategy here. So if you save that one, then you can get some other good ones out of your system before me and Big Cat can take them from you.
Let me go with the good one then. I've never told this story before. I can't believe I'm doing it now. I would say MMA classes are high up there for midlife crisis. And it would happen to me. You know, I was like, you know what? I used to do this a little bit when I was younger and really skinny before it was cool. I was like, I'd like to get back to that. Maybe loosen up. Maybe a challenge my body type of thing. You know, who knows? You know, see what happens. And so I signed up. I went to the class. And I said, what do you have for me? So I hit the pads a little bit. And they're like, oh, you know, hey, you'll be fine. They go, we have intermediate or beginner. And I looked around, and there were some dudes that, like, could really fight. And there was a ring and everything. And I go, okay, well, you know, like, your bench numbers are good and all, but you probably don't want to go in there right away. So why don't we just go beginner, so that way if you're a little bit more advanced, it's better than just getting your ass kicked. So they're like, okay, beginner class is Tuesday, blah, 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 show up. So I tape my hands, I walk in, and it's kids. It's high school kids. And I'm looking at the instructors going, you guys are kidding me, right? And there's even some kids there where parents were there. And so I had to team up with, like, this kid whose self-confidence was low. He might have been a little chubby. And we went back and forth and be like, all right, 10 kicks left and then 10 kicks right. And I'm going, what are you doing? Like, out of here. And you go, you know what? Don't be uncoachable. Don't be a bad apple. Get through the class. Show maturity. And I'm like, yeah, but dude, if anybody actually saw you now in your 30s hitting tie pads with a high school kid, like, this is so embarrassing. And, like, what are you doing? So I made it through most of the class. And then at the end, they go, okay, we're going to break up into two teams, and then we're going to have a leapfrog competition. So I actually leapfrogged with high school kids after my MMA class and then quit. Immediately.
Are you sure this was an MMA class?
Yeah, so you're Kramer.
Yeah,
you're
sounds like Kramer in that episode where he does karate against elementary school kids.
I mean, I looked at the guy after. I go, "Were you?" He goes, "Well, we were going to move you up to intermediate." And I went, "Were you?" I get like a shirt.
Well, no. Let's. I mean, honestly, do you think that you could have kicked all those kids' asses?
Yes.
So did they give you a belt? I feel like you should have gotten a belt for that. Whenever you're the toughest guy in a room, you get like another belt in karate, right?
They gave us stickers.
They give you a lollipop and stickers. That's a perfect first one, though. I had that on my list as well. MMA or some kind of like CrossFit.
Yeah.
Just really getting into some kind of
a
new
tough mutter.
Workout. Yeah.
Yeah. Doing like an adventure race or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, mine is similar to that, but I think it's a little bit different. Mine was trained with Navy SEALs because you desperately are seeking the approval of your father.
Yes, that's a good one.
So if you get really into military culture because, like, you're dominating a sport which isn't that athletic, and you want to prove yourself in something else, especially make your dad love you, then you just start training with the Navy SEALs, and you go out to Arizona, and you break your back.
Yeah, that's a great one.
Hypothetically.
All right, my first one, I'll go with the easy one. You got to get the young girlfriend that's like half your age, and everyone looks at you like, what the fuck is going on there? Mm-hmm. Usually happens after a divorce, but that's a telltale sign for a midlife crisis.
Mm-hmm. Actually, she's really fun.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Makes you feel younger. So my second one is going to be, and this is a specific look, and I think you guys know, you can like visualize the guy. He's usually got a little too much tan, a little too much sun. He's got the faded jeans, and he's wearing like skin-tight clothes, and he's got the shirt that's like a $1,000 button-down shirt that he could have gotten at Bloomingdale's for $40. Mm-hmm. And it has, when the collars have like the floral patterns, and that's the look.
And he's got it rolled up just a little
just
bit.
Just a little
yeah,
bit.
Just to give a you a little peek that, hey, bit. I spent yeah. the extra money for the bespoke design.
Yes, exactly. So that look is just a telltale. Yeah, that guy's struggling with some things, some inner demons that he can't get over.
Okay, I like that one.
Okay, now you're... Right, you're
we're going snake, one. So you
yeah,
go
we're
again.
Going snake. Yeah, yeah.
So you're going...
No, I just did two.
You did?
The young girlfriend.
Fuck.
Yeah.
All right, we're lost.
Struggle with snake drafts. We're not even high. That's the worst part.
Okay, my second one...
I'm definitely not.
Here's my second one, okay? It's going to be stop jerking off.
Ooh.
So guys that get real into like self-help and self-care in the second half of their life, they get into like NoFap is mm-hmm. what they call it. And they're like, you know what? Your body actually produces more testosterone. And you think with a clear gorilla mindset, if you just stop touching your penis altogether.
Yeah.
So it's actually, this is something that I'm doing for myself.
It's like doing this.
Not doing anything.
Yeah. And like you're getting into the sting tantric sex bullshit and like trying to, you know, research like how do I become better at sex? Cause I'm having sex with all these 20-year-old women now.
Yeah. I'm thinking so much more clearly now that I'm going through this midlife crisis.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your comments, Ryan.
I'm just writing.
Can't relate.
You're taking notes.
I got caught. All right, so I want to stay in the fashion lane, but I think this is at least its own pick, so you guys can rule on this. But it would be the Louis Vuitton high tops, maybe Ferragamo, maybe Fendi. Really high. Like if you're 40 something and you're not living in LA and you're not like if I run into you and you're wearing a spiritual gangster scoop neck tee, which isn't funny anymore, by the way. And it's spiritual gangster, some of the jeans Big Cat was talking about, and some Louis high tops that are thousands and thousands of dollars.
Yep.
And then I run into you on the East Coast. Like, if I see you in Nantucket with this outfit, and I'll be like, oh, you know, you're a producer, and you see you work at Charles Schwab, then you're trying too hard.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely. It's basically anything that you could see in Buzz Bissinger's closet.
He's a leather guy.
Is that how he dresses?
No, he wears leather.
He got addicted
now.
To leather.
Yeah, he's addicted to shopping for leather pants.
You don't remember that
really?
Story?
Oh,
he literally got yes. addicted to online shopping for like skin-tight leather pants.
Mm-hmm. I think he spent like $60,000 in a year on leather. He's a leather daddy.
Are
that's what he calls
serious?
Himself.
Guys, yeah. imagine moving and then going, because, you know, again, I just moved. And you start looking around going, did I really need a hoodie of the Ultimate Warrior? And you go, like, if you're Buzz Bissinger and you have 60 grand worth of leather pants, you have whenever you move, you have to go, I could cut back on this.
Yeah, whoa, that's a lot of mm-hmm. leather pants. Yeah, if you ever look at your closet, do a real look, you're like, oof, you own, like, 16 shirts from, you know, the Blackhawks winning the Stanley Cup. That's probably excessive.
Okay, I'm looking this up right now. He said, and this is quotes from him, I own 81 leather jackets, 75 pairs of boots, 41 pairs of leather pants, 32 pairs of haute couture jeans, 10 evening jackets, whatever the fuck that is, and 115 pairs of leather gloves.
Oh, my God.
What?
Yeah. Oh, wait.
That's actually kind of awesome that he told everybody.
Holy yeah, shit, I think that was part of the. I think that's part of like having an addiction to leather. You have to come clean.
I took a detailed look at the items I've purchased from 2010 through 2012. I was afraid, quite candidly, although a total of $250,000 would not have fazed me, I was somewhat off. The total was $587,412.97.
Fuck.
Man, that Friday Night Lights thing blew up. Like, the fact yeah. you could drop $500,000 on leather is kind of cool.
Yeah, right. It's actually
so
something
we're
to aspire
gonna,
to.
Yeah, when you start that phase of your midlife crisis, Ryan, we're yeah. going to stop you at, like, 200.
200,000.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you got to have some leather.
Yeah, you got to.
I dress like a total chump now. I dress like a jerk. I was wearing an Army dry fit at Restoration Hardware, shopping for furniture.
Stolen valor.
I had, like... Yeah, but, you know, they're like, somebody thanked me for their service, and my service, and I was like, I did shoulders today.
All right, you have another pick.
Oh, snake draft. Okay, all right. I think there's always a time as a guy, and, like, now that I've gone through it, you don't know when it's over until it's already over, right? So when I was younger and we used to bartend, I would see older guys out, and I'd be like, why is he here? Like, what's he doing?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's over for him. And it was over for me, and I wasn't really quite aware. And now I know it's over, but it's been over for a few years. So I think what happens is there's always this hesitation if you're going to, like, somebody wants you, you know, to talk to, like, hey, we want to introduce you to a girl or whatever. The first thing you do now is look up when they graduated from college, and then you go, you know what, this person's not even going to want to talk to me. This person isn't like, I'm taking myself out of the running before I'm even, you want to put me in the lineup, and I'm telling you I'm hurt,
yep,
and I don't want to play.
Yep.
So I don't know if that falls into a perfect category, but I think there's this self-awareness that comes in the midlife crisis of going, no one's going to like me anymore, so why do I even bother? And I miss being 37, 38 when no one liked me, but I didn't know.
So what you're describing is actually like the lead up to a midlife crisis. So you reach that point of self-awareness, and then you spin it into, you know what, I'm just going to pretend that none of that stuff fazes me at all, and you go hard the other way.
Right. Well, my next one, which Ryan just stole, was telling every 20-year-old girl, I'm so self-aware, I know it's over, you want to go back to my place.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. Ryan,
yeah,
your comment?
Yeah, good one, Ryan. You really nailed that midlife crisis.
Okay. All right. I was waving to the studio guy here to be like, I'm good, I'm doing a phoner, I'm on the Rushmore, I made Rushmore this year. Yeah, because I'm not going to give a timeline here, but somebody was like, oh, you got to meet this girl. I was like, okay, fine, no problem. Thought about the DM forever, then overthought it, and then was like, you know what, let's get some years here, and then looked at the graduation year and went, I'm out.
2014.
Yeah, if she graduated post ACC realignment, she's out.
Yes. Good rule.
Yes, right. Because if they respond to your DM with, is there an internship available or something, that means you're out.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
If she doesn't know how great the Big East used to be in basketball,
yeah,
then we can't talk.
Yeah.
All right, I'll go with...
Right. Go ahead. Right, because that Big East meant a lot to me, so that's a very good time.
We won't have a lot to talk about on the second date.
Yeah, they won't know how the Garden used to be the mecca for college hoops.
Calhoun and Boeheim used to hate each other.
Mm-hmm. Ray Allen, Allen Iverson going at it. Can't relate.
Are you kidding me? Earl Kelly, Tim Coles, Gary Besselink.
All right, I'm surprised you don't do better with the ladies if you're dropping Gary Jesselink references on them. My third is, this is, I'm shocked this one lasted so long. Buy a sports car.
Yeah.
Preferably red.
Yeah.
Preferably convertible. Preferably having white snake blasting from the speakers all the time.
I actually think that you can, so that is definitely true. Everything you said is true, but I think you can also do now like the gray or black Audi or BMW and do it that way.
Yeah, if you put racing seats in it.
Yeah.
Actually, you can just do a Honda Civic Si if you put racing
the
seats in it.
The leather stitching? Yeah. The red leather stitching?
Yeah, matte black finish.
Yeah.
Yeah, matte black rims on
it. What type of car do you own, Ryan?
That one.
You just bought a new car, right?
I did, a Range Rover.
No, seriously, did you buy a Range Rover?
Well, yeah, but it has black rims and they're matte.
I would also nominate like an H2 in that category.
Yeah.
So just get yourself a sweet car.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Was the H2 the small one?
H3, I think, was the smaller one.
Yeah, the H2 was smaller than the original Humvee, but it was still pretty big.
Yeah.
The H3 was like a guy that wants to stick his toe into a military car water.
Yeah.
Yeah, who buys the H3?
The cuck.
Yeah.
The official car of cucks.
Yeah, someone who doesn't have the money. All right.
Someone whose wife is going through a midlife crisis that they're not aware of.
Yeah. All right, so my third and fourth. The third is if you're bald or going bald, you either take one last run at growing your hair out or grow the beard. So you switch it up with the beard to counteract the baldness.
Mm-hmm. I feel like these are directed at somebody. I grew my beard. I was pre-beard. I may grow mine back out. It's starting to fill in.
Mm.
Yeah.
Oh, it is. Oh, so you're trying.
So this is describing you. We didn't know that.
Weird. Okay.
You can also get hair plugs.
I didn't realize. No, I don't think I'll do the hair plugs because I'm afraid of the upfront thing. Like, I see guys that are late 40s, former steroid users, probably back on something, just doing curls all day, and they have this, like, the most perfect level line you've ever seen next to the ocean horizon.
Yeah.
Just a bangs that go straight across the forehead, and it scares the hell out of me.
You need that.
I want to do that.
You need that. All right, my last one is you start hanging out with, like, younger dudes. So you start hanging out with dudes that are half your age. You're like, you got new friends. All your old friends are gone. So, like, if you're 40, how old were you again, Ryan? 42? start like podcasting with a couple 33-year-olds, try to keep yourself young.
Mm-hmm. Maybe get a couple boy toys around you to like, you know, okay, I know what the 18-year-olds and 19-year-olds are doing.
Go to like concerts.
Right, if I'm with them, it's not so bad. Or I mean just in general, if somebody were with someone that age.
Right. You go to clubs with them, mm-hmm. like, hey, the boys are going out tonight. And you just look around. You wake up one day, you look around, and no one who you went to college with is around you or any of your friends mm-hmm. from your past.
You start hanging out with like a younger professional athlete that's down on his luck and mm-hmm. not playing anymore.
Yeah.
That sort of thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or Super Bowl champs. Yeah.
Ooh.
The entire spectrum. And then you call your college buddy late at night, and then his wife yells at you the next day for waking up the kids for calling so late.
Oh, actually, hold on. Did you think we were talking about you? We were talking about Dave Portnoy.
Oh.
Yeah. You move your sports blog.
You just told on yourself there.
You move your sports blog to New York. Wait, actually, I moved out to L.A.
I didn't know how much longer you guys were going to go with that. I thought you were directing. If you were doing the Portnoy, then it probably means that he and I are more alike.
No, you're confused. All the stuff before that was you. Mm-hmm. That specific one hanging out with 20-year-olds.
A lot of it felt like me.
Yeah, the 20-year-olds was definitely just for Dave. Because he literally has a Team Portnoy crew, and they're all 22 years old. He created.
Are you guys too old to hang out with him?
Yeah, he created a gang of 22-year-olds. Literally.
That's kind of awesome.
Yeah, it is. It's pretty sweet.
It's intimidating. Yeah. Johnny Manziel's in that gang.
It's true. It's true.
Because when I thought you guys were only talking about me, which has been most of this, mm-hmm. I was going to say, yeah, that you could have your own national show, and when you do topics that you did 10 years ago that Big Cat does 5 years after you did them, then you could be accused on Twitter of stealing from Big Cat.
Ooh, that's a deep cut. That's a deep cut, Ryan.
Methinks the lady... What is it?
Doth protest too much.
Yeah, doth protest uh-huh. too much there, Ryan. Sounds like you're a little triggered. All right, PFT, your last
okay,
pick.
Okay, my last one. I'm trying to think, because we took a lot of really good ones. I was going to say get really into playing pool or some obscure bar game, but I'm going to vacate
that
one.
That's a good one. Or magic tricks.
Magic.
Yeah, some kind of hobby like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, a weird hobby. Magic is a really, really strong one. I'm just going to go with you start playing more video games.
Ooh.
Because you're trying to get back to your 18-year-old self, so you buy the latest system, and then you log on to you know, playing Call of Duty or something like that, and you've got 12-year-olds in the group chat calling you racist words and just sniping you mercilessly.
Yeah. That's a good one.
Okay, that is a good one. I was going to go with that because I don't play any video games anymore. I stopped.
Right. Right, sure you did.
Thanks. No, I did.
Okay. Sure you did. We'll see you in Call of Duty tonight, same time. What's your last one?
Get your kill ratio up, bro. Last one would be PFC. I thought I was going to take it, but it is hobby. It's crazy hobby. It's that weird Sunday Vegas flight back, and you go, I need to do something different, man. I'm going to learn how to play the freaking guitar.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Italian.
That's so good.
No, playing guitar, picking up guitar is a really strong 40-year-old move.
And like inviting like some dude, some 18-year-old kid over your house and pay him $150 an hour to teach you guitar, and you can't learn like three chords.
And you go out and you buy like the most expensive guitar because you're like, I'm going to treat myself. So I'm going to maybe even get a guitar collection.
Yeah,
you get
signed by Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Yeah, you get like three or four really nice Paul Reed Smith guitars and like vintage Eric Clapton Fenders, and you just hang them up on your wall, and you can like struggle to play a C chord.
I had a buddy that bought a banjo. A financial guy, had his own little Edward Jones franchise. The guy bought a banjo, and I was like, what's the story? And he was hammered, and he started picking away at it like he was Bela Fleck, and he sucked. We went like a year later back to his house. His banjo was in the garage. I was like, what happened? He's like, oh, you know, life. So
I got over it.
I was going to say, that's the saddest walk of shame that I've ever heard in my life, is like the point where you realize that it's time to walk your banjo to the garage.
Yeah, and just put it away. This was a failed
like
experiment.
I'm not going to get good at this.
Yeah.
Apparently, it's really hard, too. Like, guitar, you could probably, you know, if you have any kind of ear, you figure it out a little bit. A couple chords there. Maybe you know, a couple sarsaparillas up at Stowe. You know, bang it out. You can sing some Counting Crows, but... Yeah, this guy went full on banjo. He had all the little things that he had on his fingers, little picks. So he put all five of them on. And I couldn't figure it out. It was terrible. Like, if you play one string, you can kind of fake it, a little smoke on the water.
Uh-huh.
But he sucked at that. Rosetta Stone's another one, because we had a deal with him at ESPN, and they were like, who wants to learn Italian? I was like, I obviously want to learn Italian. And they sent me the thing, and I plugged it in to my laptop and put on a little headset. I'm like, ciao, you know?
Yeah, this...
like, all right, yeah, I took French for I'll pick this up this weekend. And I haven't looked at it since.
Yeah, you realize you're back at school. You're like you're in middle school. It's like, this fucking sucks. Yeah.
In theory, learning can be fun and something that you want to do, but when you actually try to learn something, it's awful.
I had a couple honorable mentions. One was just get into like a lot of vitamins, GNC, do a lot of that shit. Like, you know, I'm going to live forever kind of.
Cod oil.
Yeah, kind of bullshit. Yeah, like I'm taking this for my liver and this for my kidneys and this for my joints and like all that shit. Doing any kind of like the MMA stuff, but like skydiving, like whitewater rafting, anything that's like super extreme. Mm-hmm. Like, man, you wouldn't believe like what I'm doing now. You're still working in a cube. I jumped out of an airplane. Well, there was another guy attached to me, but I jumped out of an airplane this weekend. Mm-hmm. That kind of shit.
Wait a minute, you calling out guys for jumping out of an attached a tandem jump?
I've done it. No big deal. I live by the seat of my pants.
But you don't have like a skydiving bumper sticker on the back of your car.
Right.
That's whenever you get into like a new culture, after the age of, I'm going to say 25, you're trying too hard to fit.
Right.
Like if you
snowboarding or biking, you get a fucking road bike. The Tour de France.
Road bike's a good one.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You get in the fucking whole suit and you just bike around your neighborhood every weekend and be like, wow, I'm going to make the tour mm-hmm. next year.
One of my honorable mentions.
And you start counting your miles.
Yeah, 70 miles on Saturday. No big deal.
I had an honorable mention of getting a tattoo. Getting a big tattoo for
the first time. That's very good.
You're like, fuck it, I'm just going to do it. And it's just a tribal tattoo and you're going to go double biceps with
mm-hmm.
it. I also had start reading more bullshit self-help books.
Yep.
Read a lot of those. And get into golf.
Yes. Big time golf. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which is really just a code for having a mistress.
Yeah. I want to go drink with my buddies in the golf cart, except I'm just going to go to my mistress's house.
Yeah. Well, do you have any honorable mentions, Ryan?
No, you guys fired off a ton there. I mean, the book thing is huge because, like, you know, that one that's titled, You Are a Badass. I mean, they might as well just have a line outside of Barnes & Noble. Like, people just, like, grabbing that. Be like, I am a badass.
Yeah,
I'm going to whip through these 250 pages and then look out, world.
Mm-hmm. All right, Ryan, thank you so much for telling us about your life, doing the Mount Rushmore of midlife crisis things. So we appreciate it. Congrats again on top 40 achievement in your life.
I feel great. Thank you.
Hey, where can people see you on draft night?
We're doing a draft pod with Jay Billis. So the Russillo podcast, iTunes, and all that stuff. Please subscribe. And also Twitter show live from the ESPN feed. It'll be about an hour before the draft all the way through the first round with Jacobian scheduled guests.
Mm. Maybe Bill Walton stopping by?
Mm.
That would be amazing if Walton stopped by.
Yeah.
Like, this guy reminds me of a taller Sedale.
That Mount Rushmore was brought to you by Movement Sunglasses. Guess what? Summer's here. It's hot outside. You need a fresh new pair of shades, and Movement is dropping all new sunglasses to get you ready for the long days of soaking up the sun. They make great sunglasses. I wear them all the time. They are seriously my go-to shades. Perfect for going to a pool, perfect for going to the beach, great for a wedding, great for a barbecue. You name it, Movement has you covered. We just got our go-to shades. The guys at Movement don't just make great watches, they make awesome sunglasses, and they've got a ton of new styles. Here's my problem with sunglasses. I get all these cheap pairs, sometimes they look bad, but every time I buy a $200 pair, I feel like I got ripped off. Well, guess what? Our friends at Movement, the watch guys, they kind of felt the same way, so they thought, screw it. How about we make some quality, trendy sunglasses at a fair price? These puppies aren't plastic. They're made from premium acetate. Ever heard of it? Acetate. Sounds expensive. Guess what? They found a way to make awesome sunglasses. You can get them polarized, and they start at just $70. They're my go-to shades. I've had a great time with my Movement sunglasses. I've got a pair of the Renegades. I've got the Revelers. I've got the Mavericks. I've got just a ton of Movement sunglasses. I wear them all the time. You got to check them out. They're high quality. They've got all these fun styles to choose from. They're classic. They're trendy. They're round. They've got aviator. They've got mirrored glasses, polarized for him and for her. You're sure to find the new pair. Get 15% off today with free shipping and free returns by going to MVMT.com/pardon. That's MVMT.com/pardon. You know MVMT Movement for how they've revolutionized the watch game, and now's the time to check out their sunglasses. Go to MVMT.com/pardon and join the movement.
And now for something completely different.
All right, we continue Mount Rushmore week with the third member of our Mount Rushmore. It is Rachel Nichols. She is officially first time Mount Rushmore recurring guest. Congratulations. Where does this...
You told me this over text, and I texted you back that, like, no lie, I was getting a little emotional over it.
Yes, yeah. You were very excited, I could sense the enthusiasm. So we'd like
to... We could sense something. Let's call it enthusiasm.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're actually, I think, the only recurring guest that has gotten their recurring guest T-shirt.
Mm.
So right. That's an even more exclusive club than being on the Mount Rushmore.
Yes.
Woohoo!
Where does this rank in career accomplishments?
It's on my Mount Rushmore of career accomplishments.
That's a good answer. That's a very good answer. Now, so you say that you're very excited. You say that this is, you know, one of the most important things that you've ever done, yet you were 15 minutes late to call in for us to record you. So what gives?
I would like to explain that we had Bill Walton on the show today.
Okay, that's a good explanation.
No, you don't have to say anything more. We know. Bill with two L's?
He literally kept talking through the... I had to throw to break with him still talking. He kept talking through the break and was still talking when we came on the air for the second segment. And then, and this is really amazing, after we're done, he gets up and there's a bunch of like art photos of like, you know, Hall of Fame NBA players on our set. He gets up and he goes over to the wall and picks the Bill Russell photo off the wall and says, I'm taking this with me. And I say, ha ha, Bill Walton, that's so funny. And then he literally tucks it under his arm and starts to walk away. This is on the set. There's a giant hole now in the wall where the Bill Russell photo used to be. And I say, Bill, ha ha, you know, we do need the photo. We're on the air again tomorrow. And he's like, yeah, I'm taking it, though. I really like it. It's beautiful. This is like a beautiful photo. And I said, yes, it is. That's why we have it. And then he said, well, I'm going to just, here. And then he takes a Sharpie out of his pocket, because who doesn't travel with a Sharpie in their pocket? He walks over to the wall and then signs the wall where the Bill Russell photo used to be, and then said, see, here, now you don't have a blank space anymore. And then he walked off the set with it under his arm, and that is what I've been doing for the last 15 minutes.
Oh, all right, you've been tracking your Bill Walton, art thief. They should make a new Ocean's movie about Bill Walton.
I'm happy you continued the story, because we could have had you. We're just saying Bill Walton. We knew exactly when we...
It would have been enough.
Yeah, right? Well, when we interviewed Bill Walton, we went for about 3 hours, and around hour two, like 2.5 hours in, he kind of just came to, and he's like, how long does this podcast go for? And we're like, that's up to you, Bill. And he's like, all right, let's wrap up. It's like, you're the only one who's been talking.
Incredible. Yes. So please... Anybody who's listening to this, tune into The Jump for the blank space behind me.
Yes.
I like it.
Yes.
I like it a lot. So in honor of Mount Rushmore season, we're doing the Mount Rushmore of weird NBA storylines from the 2017-2018 season. We figure that there are plenty to go around. So, we're gentlemen on the show, so we're going to let you go first, but it's going to be snake style. So you might actually need to help us remember who's up, because we're not too good at keeping track of that sort of thing. So it's going to go you, and then it'll go Big Cat. Then me, then
Hank. Let's keep the order we've already done.
We're mixing it up.
It's going to go PFT second me, because if we do that, we're screwed. Let's just keep... We're going to screw up if we do it otherwise.
I think it should go me, PFT, me, Big Cat, me. No?
That's no, no. You'll get two in a row coming back around.
That's the suicide one. Like, yeah, if you're running the lines after practice.
Yeah. All right. So you start, and we'll go from there.
Okay, this is a hard call for number one pick. I feel some responsibility. Because look, there's two things in my mind that would compete for it, and they're both so unbelievable that if you said them to anyone before the season, they would just laugh at you and say, oh, come on, that's like Bill Walton stealing from you on live television. No one should forget the score in an NBA Finals game, but I still gotta go with a general manager in the NBA getting fired for someone in his family, possibly him, burner tweeting his own players.
Mm-hmm.
That's my number one.
That's a solid one. Now, the big question is, in today's day and age, we have to put the suffix gate onto any sort of scandal. Is this burner gate?
Burner gate, right?
Collar gate?
I was going to say collar gate.
Yeah.
slant I can go
gate?
Either way.
Yeah. Get a new slant gate?
Yeah. Move on, right? Gate?
I just like get a new slant. Who talks like that?
I know we won't do this for everyone, but I'm sorry. I don't know how closely you guys looked at his statement when he resigned, I don't have it in front of me, so I can't do the whole thing for you, but he was talking about how he basically was not involved at all in his wife getting any of that private information. He never had any conversation with her, I never had whatever. What was he accusing of her in that moment? Was she reading his diary?
Maybe.
What the fuck was that?
Well,
that was the most insane part of it to me. I didn't tell her any of that stuff. Did she bug him? Did she surveil him? I want to know. I have questions.
First of all, there's something awesome about hearing somebody that's always on cable TV drop an F-bomb.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was cool. So I want to say that was awesome. Thank you. To respond to your actual question, I think she probably hacked its cloud.
Well, I was going to say situation. He just was like, hey, listen, if I'm going to be unemployed, I might as well be single. So let's just go all the way here, and we'll break both things up.
Midlife crisis.
Is hacked his cloud a euphemism, or is that, do you just actually mean...
No, oh, probably hacked his cloud.
He probably just literally hacked his cloud.
He probably did that stupid thing where he signed into his iMessages on the family iPad.
Mm-hmm.
And that
on
was
the family
enough.
iPad, exactly. Yeah. Dun, dun, dun. All right, so I've got Collargate.
Okay, that's a good first one. My first one is going to be... it might be recency bias, but I think I'm going to have to go with LeBron James's pretty much broken hand.
That is very recency bias.
But, jeez. I mean, it was basically broken. Rachel, you were the one that asked him that question, right?
Well, he came into the presser with the rap cast. What are we calling it? Are we calling that a rap? Or are we calling that
it's a cast. Yeah.
Do you think that he asked all his teammates to sign it before he left? Because he might never see them again?
I noticed that there were no signatures on it, so bad teammate?
Yeah.
No one wanted to sign
his
cast?
Well, it was black. The cast was black. Maybe there was a purpose, so no one could be like, I heart, Trev. Like any of that stuff.
But you technically broke the story because although he walked into the press conference waving at everybody's face.
No. Sam Amick, Brian Windhorst, David Brenneman, they were all reporting it before the press conference. Okay. So I appreciate you big jaying me like that.
Well, by the way, Wendy's hair has been phenomenal. It's like he's got like a double wave going. He had it the finals.
Man.
He brought his game for the finals.
Can't knock it.
Yeah. All right. I'm gonna say that was recency bias. You could have gotten that at the end of the draft. I didn't even have it on my list.
Well, Rachel, you might not have broken the story, but you're pretty much broken.
Yeah, you pretty much broke it.
Right. There you go. Good job.
All right. My number one is going to be J.R. Smith throwing a bowl of soup at Damon Jones. That is...
Ooh, that's a left turn. You said J.R. Smith.
Yeah.
I thought I knew you were going. I thought you were going to take a new deck, my friend.
That's... And honestly, like, J.R. Smith forgetting the score in the finals is less crazy than J.R. Smith throwing a bowl of soup at an assistant coach in anger, which...
Do you guys know what kind of soup it was? Because I do.
Ooh.
Wait, it was chicken tortilla, right?
It was, yeah. Chicken, no fun.
You got to be like, I don't know. And then you just...
Because I'm a soup guy. Jeez. I got to defend my brand.
Kind of ruined that one.
Got to defend my brand.
It took a lot of the air out of the room.
Really
all did. Right.
All right, my number one is when the Arthur meme gate...
Oh,
when
yeah.
LeBron Instagrammed the picture of Arthur's fist, and then Draymond Green just trolling LeBron all year long. Like when LeBron went bald, and then Draymond Green put it up on Instagram and said, the Warriors made LeBron go bald.
Yep.
So basically any trolling of LeBron, my number one.
I totally forgot that LeBron bald head Instagram thing was this year.
Yeah.
Where he was just like yelling into the camera and singing.
Been a crazy year.
That was a wild video.
Yeah.
And then my number two is actually recency bias as well, but this was funny as shit. We didn't even talk about it on PT.
Oh, wait. Are you snake drafting?
Snake
draft.
Like,
yeah, yeah, yeah. No, you get the snake draft. Don't get stuck in the snake.
Right.
The diss track that Lonzo just dropped on Kyle Kuzma was like actually ruthless and pretty good.
You never knew who your dad was?
That yeah.
Was part of the, I mean, come on.
Ruthless.
Wait, is that the rap where they just kept on saying, buy the merch, buy
the
merch?
No. Oh. So after, like the day after that, Lonzo dropped a diss track that was just, shat on Kyle Kuzma and like, literally, like, I think they're friends. They are friends, and they, like, bust each other's balls.
Yeah, they're actually really tight. You see them in the locker room together all the time. They've had, like, tons of back and forth on Twitter, on IG, like, all year long. And, look, I'm sure they're okay after this, but there's been reporting the Lakers were not happy about it because here you are about to do free agency auditions, and your two sort of most high-profile young players are getting into what looks like a little bit of line crossing, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You don't know who your dad is?
That's a big one. That's a big one. all right, my number two, it's tough here. I went back and forth with which injury-related crazy story I wanted to go with, but I think I'm going to go with Markelle Fultz just, like, forgetting how to shoot a basketball, use his shoulder, The reports, like, I feel like now, because he seems like he's going to be okay, we've kind of lost how crazy that was. But that stretch where we were, like, getting weird videos from random gyms of him not being able to shoot a basketball and airballing
shots.
Yeah,
that was on my list, too.
That was crazy. First pick in the draft.
Yep.
Yes. And he doesn't play for the majority of the season because he just forgot how to shoot. So, yeah, that's my number two.
That's a solid choice at two. My second, I'm going to stick with LeBron. I'm just going to go Sheesh. Mm. Sheesh made its debut this year, and it rocked all of our worlds. We couldn't stop saying it, the phrase that took over the airwaves. LeBron James becoming a full-blown, I don't want to say alcoholic, but he was addicted to saying Sheesh.
Mm-hmm.
And then so was I, and then everybody else was too.
There you go. I'm thrilled. So it's my turn again, right?
Yep.
Okay, I'm thrilled you guys left me with this. I'm Tunnelgate. How could you guys?
Yeah,
Tunnelgate.
That's a good call. That's a good call.
You have the Houston Rockets charging into the L.A. Clippers locker room through a not so secret, but secret tunnel. Damn it.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's egg on our face. I blame PFT for sticking only on LeBron.
Well,
you should have picked it
though.
You know
what?
I had Tunnelgate, and then I had Sheesh right next to it. And when you see Sheesh, you have to say Sheesh.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
My hands were tied.
All right, so what's your number three, Rachel?
All right, so I'm trying to figure out what you guys have already hit. I'm going to say Kawhi Leonard is the next weirdest storyline.
Yep.
Because Kawhi Leonard played 9 games for the Spurs this season. He spent large chunks of time away from the team. People were alternately either pretending nothing was wrong or that everything was wrong. Tony Parker comes out and says, "I had the same injury, but a million times worse," or whatever he said, and yet I'm fine and I'm playing. And then the Spurs, this was my favorite part of the whole thing, that when he was away from the team at the end, the Spurs were not putting him on the injury report as being hurt. They said, "Return from injury management."
Ooh.
I don't know what that means.
Injury management.
Have they? You're an insider.
It goes on my Mount Rushmore.
Yeah. Have Pop and I heard Pop and Kawhi sat down and Pop was just like, "Hey man, here's let me just write this out for you. This is how much money you're going to walk away from." And he's like, "Oh, okay. Actually, we're good now."
That none of that happened.
Okay. Damn. All right. My reporting is a little off.
What about my reporting that Kawhi Leonard's a conservative and he was upset with Greg Popovich being so liberal?
Mm.
Also didn't happen. Okay. Kawhi Leonard did attend a little memorial that was put together for Greg Popovich for losing his wife, Erin. Oh. He mixed in with the team, and apparently, according to all accounts, and Adrian Wojnarowski reported it the other day, that everything was very smooth with that. He was totally a full participant in being there for the coach and the family. And then, yes, in the next week or two, I don't know when this podcast is dropping, but in the next, whenever you guys out there are listening to it, it may have just happened or it may be happening. They are going to meet and discuss kind of if their relationship.
So I was right. So I was right. So yeah, Greg Popovich is going to be like, "Hey, Kawhi, look at all the zeros that we can give you."
Mm-hmm.
Done.
I don't know. Would you give him? So they can give him an extension that's $219 million over 5 years.
Yes.
If you're Kawhi, you're taking $219 million, I would imagine. But are you giving it to him if you're the Spurs?
Yes.
Probably not, actually.
Yes.
If you don't use it,
you lose it. That's how the Supermax works.
Is that how it works?
I just made that up.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. All right, PFT, your third.
My third, I'm going to go with the whole Kyrie-Isaiah Thomas saga that went down. So that also, we have to count Kyrie not being happy in Boston in part of this drama, because as we've learned over the last week, he basically wants a trade right now. Right, Rachel?
Also not true.
Okay. I heard true.
Yep.
True. We'll just take the quote of true. And then the way that Isaiah Thomas handled being in Cleveland, LeBron James beefing with him, then him going out to L.A. and what happened there, I think that was people forget about that because it started – that was like a year-long drama thing that we had going on this year. So I like that one a lot.
I was going to say, I can't believe you're lumping all of that into one. It's a little greedy of you.
Yeah.
No, I think it's all in the same cinematic universe.
I'm just going to say this right now. I think PFT's having a pretty bad Mount Rushmore here.
I think it's pretty good.
Because you missed the biggest LeBron story, which I'm going to save. But my third, which I can't believe is still here, Kevin Durant had a burner account. Kevin Durant had a burner account. Like, he was the original burner account.
That was this year.
The fact that he was the original burner account is insane. Going around defending himself against Russell Westbrook. Insane that the MVP of the NBA Finals is so insecure that he has to go around with a burner account and be like, "Actually, it was KD who carried the Thunder." Crazy. Crazy.
Can I circle? Whoops.
Yeah, go ahead.
I just wanted to circle back on one Kyrie note, that when he said that he wasn't going to sign a contract extension this summer with Boston, that is because if he waits until next year, he can get $80 million extra dollars from Boston.
Mm. Oh, so he wants to just suck all the money out of them that he can.
Yeah.
Take money away from potential teammates.
Also, he wants to make sure that it's not Brad Stevens' team. That's a big deal. That's a big deal. Yes. All right, Hank, you got your third and fourth.
My third is going to be Eric Bledsoe just tweeting, yep, I want to be out of here,
yep,
and then being traded shortly thereafter.
Subtweeting the Suns, yep.
And then my last, I had Kyrie, I had Durant. I'm just going to go with Ben Simmons being a point guard and not being able to shoot a three-pointer.
Mm, that's a good one. That's a good one.
He didn't make one the entire year, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I think he attempted one. I don't think he made one.
He didn't attempt. I think he only shot like half court.
During the playoffs?
No, during the season.
During the season, wow.
I don't know. I think he might have attempted more than one, but it was less than 10.
And they were all like end of the half, end of the quarter.
Like just heaves.
Yeah.
Right. And then there would be like random videos where he was actually shooting threes and draining them.
Did Colangelo's Twitter account ever address, or his burner accounts ever address the fact that he only drafted players that didn't know how to shoot?
Yeah. That should be brought up. No, they should be brought up.
Probably the first thing they should have addressed.
Ben Simmons went 0 for 11 for threes this year. Took 11 threes. 11.
Not ideal.
All right, my last one, and I'm actually frankly shocked that no one brought this up. The craziest NBA story. LeBron James, 33 years old, 15 years in the league, played all 82 games. Didn't get injured? Seems like his durability is going up. At 33, most athletes, their durability goes down.
Yeah, he had like back injuries the last couple years,
right? Oh, good point, PFT.
Back injuries aren't really something that you can just move on from usually.
What do you think? What do you think, Rachel?
Well, I think that he has done extensive work on the back. He hired a whole army military dude to like put him through all these weird training exercises, whatever. He spends like $1 million a year on his health. I know what you're implying.
No, I'm not. Whoa. Why don't you say it? Wait. You guess.
Above
what I'm implying.
Above board.
You say it. You say what I'm implying.
Can't we just be impressed? By someone's
crazy
athletic
story.
Feats of daring do?
That's,
can't we?
Listen, Rachel, this is called a podcast. That's not what we do on podcasts. We have to accuse everybody. We have to go into a witch hunt.
Yes.
Is it possible that LeBron James is doing the thing where you take just red wine baths?
Because
I saw that.
Hey,
I saw
right?
That's like
the
a
thing.
New thing.
Didn't Amari Stoudemire did that?
Yes. Work for him. His
there
knee's great.
It's really extended his career.
Yeah.
All right, so my last one. I mean, this has been a really an all-time great showing for me, so I'm running out of good ones. So I'm gonna go with
big basketball guy.
I'm gonna go with the continued success of The Jump on ESPN, featuring host Rachel Nichols.
Oh God,
this is so
as taking sports television by storm, outlasting Barstool Van Talk by 2 full years.
Wow. This has been
on
a
ESPN.
Terrible Mount Rushmore for you, PFT.
This is on your Mount Rushmore of weirdest, craziest NBA storylines?
What's
good
weird
point.
About that?
Yeah, what is weird about that? You didn't think Rachel had it in her?
I'm just saying that it's been a tremendous success.
Wow. That's,
that is not what you're saying.
Yeah, that's back.
Okay. I was like weeping and emotional because I thought this was such an honor.
Well,
now
yeah.
Okay, the problem is I got all my ones taken because I went for some really shitty Mount Rushmores up front. So I had to.
Sheesh was a shocker.
Here's my real one. The rise and fall of Joe Prunty.
Ooh, that's good. Okay. Yeah, you could just, you know what?
You guys calling Jason Kidd sitting at his desk and answering the phone on a random, like, Tuesday afternoon.
Yeah, and also Jason Kidd getting fired and then trying to call Giannis to get his job back. And then Joe Prunty being hired was Joe Prunty ever named head coach?
But that's fine. That's not crazy or anything. Instead, take a shot at my show. Totally fine.
Yeah.
I was not taking a shot. I was being very sincere.
He got stuck. Wait, Rachel, I have a question. Was Joe Prunty ever named head coach, or was he just always assistant coach?
Interim.
Oh, he did get the interim. Okay. I thought they just were like, let's just keep calling him assistant head coach.
They did not. All right, so is it my turn again? I can't keep track of where the snake is.
Yes, this is the end. So this is your last one.
This is
one.
The end.
Yep.
All right. I think, again, now this is my fourth, and I will say that my three are pretty good, especially compared to you guys. So, really. But this is definitely number four for me, in terms of after you took all the other good ones, is that Nikola Mirotic and Bobby Portis got in a fist fight at practice that he broke Mirotic's jaw. And then Mirotic, first of all, said, I won't come back if he's still playing. Then it was like, yeah, you're not that good. You got to come back. And he did. And then they went on this crazy 7-game winning streak that ruined the Bulls' chances of tanking.
Yes.
Yeah, that was a great story. Sometimes when you punch your buddy in the face, you end up being better friends afterwards.
Yeah, I had that on my honorable mentions because I didn't think anyone was going to take it. But the Bulls went, they won 10 of 12. They won 27 games total. They won 10 games when Mirotic came back, and it was – that feels like it happened 10 years ago, mm-hmm. but that was this season. I have a couple –
it was the middle of the season.
Yeah. Well, no. Well, he punched him at the beginning of the season.
That's true, yeah. But then it was like December or something.
Yeah, December run that was just – yeah, fucked everything up. Of course, the Bulls –
ruined their team.
Yeah, only the Bulls could screw up tanking when they have everything set up, when they literally have a fight in preseason, and they still found a way to screw it up. Like, the team hates each other. I had a couple that we missed. The Raptors congratulating Dwayne Casey on Twitter for Coach of the Year a week after they fired him.
That was a good one.
That was pretty good.
What about future LeBron congratulating past LeBron on future LeBron's accomplishments on Instagram?
That was very good. That was a very good one. Did you have any others, honorable mentions?
I got nothing. You guys took a bunch of mine.
What'd you have?
The only one I had that I didn't name was Embiid dunking on Russell Westbrook and just listing like crime scene investigation.
Yes, that was good. That was good. Red Panda maybe being over the hill.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. No.
I said maybe. Whoa. I said maybe.
Wow.
I mean, she's maybe. Had a number of high profile mistakes.
Yeah. It's been bad.
So wait. Can we compare Mount Rushmore's before we go?
Yeah.
We let the listeners do that.
Yeah. The listeners vote on it. So
Hank rigs the votes and
I know,
he always wins.
Can we summarize everyone? Please?
Yeah. We can summarize. Mine was great, so I was number one.
What were your four? You do your four, Rachel, and then we'll come back around and everyone will say their four.
Colangelo burner account, Rockets Clippers tunnel, Kawhi Leonard getting into a season long fight and not playing for the Spurs, mm-hmm. and the Bulls punching each other and not even that allowing them to tank right.
Yes. Mm. Okay. PFD. Okay.
I forgot
That's
all mine.
That's pretty strong, boys.
That's pretty strong, but I think I got you beat.
I had hand gate. I had pretty much broken hand gate.
Yeah.
I had sheesh gate.
Mm-hmm.
I had Joe Pronti gate.
Mm-hmm.
And I had Rachel Nichols being great at being on television gate.
Mm-hmm. But you actually screwed it up. But like it's, yeah, you actually dissed it.
But it was, but it was an accident.
Yeah, it was
bad.
An accident.
All right, okay.
I had.
I'll get over it like 3 or 4 years from now.
Yeah, I had J.R. Smith throwing soup at Damon Jones. I had Markelle Fultz forgetting how to play basketball. I had Kevin Durant having a burner account. And I had LeBron James doing HGH's first reported by Rachel Nichols. Those are my four.
No one take JR for getting the score?
No one did.
Actually, I just did.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I just got it.
But that's not crazy because it's JR. Like, you're basically like saying, hey, JR Smith was kind of high.
Mm-hmm.
Who knew? And then Hank, what's your four?
I had Arthur Meme Gate, Eric Bledsoe Gate, Ben Simmons not being able to shoot Gate, and Lonzo diss track Gate.
I think it's going to be between me and Rachel.
No, I think it's probably me and Hank.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think
Congrats,
so.
Congrats, Hank.
Thank you.
Rachel.
I think the voters are going to be on my side, I'm just saying.
We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. thank you for joining us. Thank you for being such a good guest that you made the Mount Rushmore.
Sup.
Bye, boys.
Thanks, Rachel.
Congrats. That Mount Rushmore was brought to you by Blue Apron. Blue Apron delivers farm fresh ingredients and step-by-step recipes directly to your door. You don't have to rush out to the grocery store. You don't have to order in. Guess what? You've got Blue Apron meal delivered directly to your door. You cook it at home. It's delicious. They've made incredible home cooking accessible to everyone. They achieve this by supporting a more sustainable food system, setting the highest standards for ingredients, and building a community of home chefs. They've got 3 meal plans that you can choose from. They've got a 2-person meal plan, they've got a family meal plan, and they've got a sheesh wine plan. You get 6 bottles of wine from renowned winemakers delivered monthly. That's the one to do right there. The wine plan, hell yeah. It's summertime. Get a nice little bottle, chill out on your porch, watch the planes fly over, go to the beach, bring a bottle of wine to the beach. Enjoy it from Blue Apron, and they've got some delicious meals coming to you in June. Check these out. Listen to these puppies. They got creamy caramelized onion burgers with apple and pickled pepper salad. They've got Chrissy Teigen's garlic and soy glazed shrimp with charred broccoli and hot green pepper sauce. I love Chrissy Teigen. She's basically the perfect woman.
Stop.
She does it all. She Stop. Does it all. She's married to John
That's
Legend.
That's not on the copy. She does, Read the copy.
She's married to John Legend. She's got a perfect family, beautiful children. She's so giftable. She does that face, the gift that you can tweet at people. That's not all she does. She also comes up with delicious recipes that you can get from Blue Apron. They also have the roasted chicken drumsticks and cauliflower with orzo, feta cheeses, and olives. They've got a spicy penne pasta with zucchini and capers that you can get from them too. Blue Apron, it is the best at-home meal delivery kit that you can get on the market today. It's convenient, it's flexible, it's very high quality. They're relatable, they're delicious, they're lighthearted. I'm running out of adjectives to describe them, Big Cat. They are so good. Check out this week's menu and get your first three meals for free at blueapron.com/pardon. That's blueapron.com/pardon. Get your first three meals for free. Blue Apron, a better way to cook.
All right, let's get to some segments. First up, we have a connect the dots for Barry Trotz, who resigned as head coach of the Washington Capitals. Mm-hmm. After winning a Stanley Cup.
True. Rode out on top.
So the Caps are cheap.
Got to have term limits in D.C.
And what was the connect the dots?
So the connect the dots, he's just been showing up in different airports around the country. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if he's actually interviewing for a bunch of jobs, but he's doing a very good job of marketing himself. So he was in, I think, Newark earlier today.
Okay.
And so a couple teams around.
Devils.
A couple teams in the area. And then later on, he showed up in Seattle. In Seattle's airport.
Ooh.
So we know that they're getting a team back.
Yep.
Allegedly. So Barry Trotz is now the most wanted man in American hockey, which is amazing. And so you guys are trying to spin this on me, be like, oh, you lost your head coach. Come get your leader.
No, I mean, the Caps are cheap. I think that's fair to say. Capitals are cheap. I read an article where it's like they always pay their coaches the least amount of money.
Well, if an article, said it.
Well, you can see how much each coach gets paid. They pay the least amount primarily since like 1998.
It's called being smart.
Well, was it if you just finally won a Stanley Cup?
Yeah. Well, we weren't paying him very much to do it.
But isn't it cheap to then just let your Stanley Cup winning head coach? I mean, you're spinning it because you have to. I think you can easily say, yeah, the Caps are cheap, and maybe Barry Trotz isn't a good coach.
I think it's very generous to let your Stanley Cup winning coach walk and cash in on something. It'll actually make it more attractive to future coaches saying, hey, if you do well, then we'll just cut you off into the sunset, and you can make a lot of money somewhere else.
Come here. We won't pay you. And then when you do well, we'll pay you even less than that.
Yes, tremendous upside.
Yeah.
So no matter what, your next job is going to be a huge pay increase if you go to D.C.
You got a little triggered yesterday when we brought up Trotz.
Listen, I'm fine. Here's the deal with Barry Trotz. I think that there's an element of truth to what you said. It's not mutually exclusive to say that the Capitals don't pay a lot of money to their head coaches, and also that we didn't want to re-sign Barry Trotz.
Correct.
Like, I don't think that Barry Trotz is a great coach. I think he got lightning in
a
bottle.
Well, he won a Stanley Cup.
Well, yeah. He's elite, yeah.
Well.
But so did Trent Dilfer.
Okay, but I mean, just saying, he won a Stanley Cup. He's a Stanley Cup winning coach.
He is. He got lightning in a bottle.
He's not great, but he won a Stanley Cup.
A.K.A. Moonshine, and Ovechkin's got plenty of that.
Mm. Lightning in seven. He got lightning in seven.
Yeah. Good, ooh, yeah.
That's
nice.
That's
nice.
Good, Hank.
That makes up for your jazz joke.
Yeah, is the jazz joke coming?
Yeah.
Next season.
Next season.
It's all the off season.
Oh, speaking of next season, is it summer?
Yes.
It just turned summer?
Did it?
Is that the 20th or the
21st? 21st.
Okay, so it's still spring.
Yep.
So next season is summer, which starts Friday's show will be in the summertime, so I look forward to your jazz joke then.
Next season.
Oh, mm-hmm. I get it. That's get a good it? One.
He got you there. Mm-hmm. Semantics. We have as a white guy, this is for Ed Werder, who kind of ate the trash / stood up for all white guys. So essentially, SI was all guys everywhere. Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. All guys. Guys as a persecuted gender.
And dudes.
We need someone like Ed Werder to be at the front for us. But SI was hiring someone, and Charlotte Wilder said, she tweeted, like, if you're a woman, you know, please, you know, DM me. I can give you help here. Basically saying, like, everyone, like, not saying only women can apply, but mm-hmm. like, hey, there's probably going to be more men applying than women. And Ed Werder got very upset and was like, hey, oh, you saying guys can't apply for this job?
Mm-hmm.
So Ed Werder, as a white guy, I appreciate your service making sure white guys are represented in sports media.
Right. Also, Ed, if you want to really do a good deed here, how come we don't have any dudes in the swimsuit calendar in Sports Illustrated?
Yeah. Body Issue has them.
Yeah.
So Sports Illustrated is
so
really...
Ed. I expect Ed to jump on that case very hard in the coming weeks. I also think that Ed has probably just had his mind warped through years of just hanging out with Brett Favre and Jerry Jones.
Yep.
Because they used to always stick him on those assignments, right? Where he would just like go live on Brett Favre's ranch or whatever you call a ranch in Mississippi, plantation.
Yeah, plantation.
Plantation.
Yep.
He would just hang out on Brett Favre's plantation or go hang out like in Jerry Jones's private office. So if that's the only source of human interaction that you've had, you're probably going to be very pro dude.
And it's also a case of Ed Werder. He, you know, was working for ESPN forever. I don't even know if he had Twitter before ESPN. I mean, he probably did at the end because he had to break news, but he used it just for breaking news.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, hey, Ed, you don't have to work for ESPN anymore. You the possibilities are endless for you on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And then he just spent his time caping for dudes.
You know what? This could all be solved if Ed Werder just changed like the name on his account to Sexism Watchdog.
Mm.
And he, instead just of just whistle? Saying something, he was just like...
Yeah, it's just a construction worker's
it's
whistle.
It's a catcall.
Yeah.
Sexism hey. Catcalls.
Ed Werder just getting... He's done this every 2 months.
Uh-huh.
He gets into these fights. I forgot that I got into a thoughts and prayers off with him.
That's true.
A couple months ago.
Yeah.
So he's getting it going on Twitter right mm-hmm. now, getting his brand out there. Before we get to Guys on Chicks, we have a Mike Greenberg's Dumb Rule. And this one will blow your mind. I'm gonna say it slowly so people can understand it. So Zach Lowe reported this, that Mark Cuban and Daryl Morey are both interested in this solution to the end of basketball games. So here's what they have. At the first dead ball under the 4 minute mark, the clock will go dark as officials add 7 points
to
the score.
You already lost, but can you start it over again?
Okay, so at the first dead ball under the 4 minute mark, the clock will go dark as officials add 7 points to the score of the leading team. The first team to reach that score wins. If Team A leads Team B 78-70, you add 7 to the 78 to the 78 mm-hmm. team. So when the clock stops with 3:58 left,
so 85-70.
They play until one of the teams reaches 85.
Oh,
so the
I got
score
you.
Stays the same. You just have to reach the
so
score
first to 7. Okay.
First yes. to 85 wins.
It's called the Elam ending. Named after Ball State University professor Matt Elam, who birthed the idea. And it's essentially, it's Daryl Morey's like perfect NBA, because eventually he just wants it so that we don't actually play the games. We just play it on a simulation on the spreadsheets.
Yeah.
So,
or it's good for the Rockets because you can't choke away in the last 2 minutes
yeah,
if you're just playing to that number.
James Harden, he's actually not out of shape because
yeah.
he doesn't have to play the last 4 minutes.
Yeah, that's actually very smart. It's a very smart move by Daryl Morey to change the entire rules of the game just to favor your team.
This is, I don't understand. This is when the nerds have gone too far.
Mm.
That they're coming up with these ideas.
He's enforcing a poll tax on the NBA.
Yeah.
He's saying, it's like if Danny Ainge said, okay, tell you what, if it's tied at the end of regulation, the team with the most draft picks wins.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. I would actually do if at 4 minutes they just go into like a half-court shoot-off
mm-hmm.
or a dunk contest.
Ooh, that'd be nice.
That wouldn't be terrible.
This idea would blow Ryan Whitney's mind, though, because you take away the last 2 minutes of the fourth quarter altogether. Who knows which part of the game he's supposed to watch now?
Well, I mean, hockey's kind of the same. Overtime, it's just first to one. So it's like...
that's a good point.
The Elam ending.
Sudden death.
I don't even... it's supposed to take away intentional fouling, I guess.
Oh.
Which, like, be better at foul shots. I don't really understand. The whole fucking thing is insane. These nerds, they've gone too far. All right, let's do Guys on Chicks. For real, guys. Let's get back control of this podcast.
Mm-hmm. Is it weird to refer to your vagina as a gash?
I think you can use that word. We
yeah.
can't.
Yeah, we can't say the G word.
Yeah.
But in the right circumstance, I think it would be cool to hear.
Yeah, like, fuck my gash?
Or well, like,
that doesn't, that wasn't, that, no, that, that, was, that didn't sound that cool.
That was the opposite of that. Yeah.
Ooh, fuck my gash. How about that?
Listen, you can call it whatever you want. I don't think that guys are going to start hitting vaginas just because you call them something different.
Yeah, no.
Should I be flattered or scared that the same guy has DM'd me every weekend for the last month and I haven't replied once?
Mm. Well,
playing hard to get.
Yeah.
That's what he thinks.
Does this guy have red hair?
Yeah, I think you should be weirded out. Every single day with no response?
Every weekend.
Every weekend.
You like persistency, though.
Yeah, that's true.
And a little consistency, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, be worried. Block him. Report him to your local police department. And maybe buy a gun.
Yeah.
Hey, guys. My boyfriend is almost 21 and still wears Nike crew socks with his Sperry's. I've thought about stealing the socks, but I'm worried he'll just buy more. Any advice?
Wait, he's almost 21? So what happens if you're 33 and you do that?
You wear socks with Sperry's?
Listen, oh, I don't know Sperry's, no, but I wear like, my socks high.
Yeah.
Sometimes. No, but you're saying?
With Sperry's?
Yeah.
I think that's a look. That's like a real, that's a confident. If you do a look, if a guy does a look that looks terrible, that means they have confidence. You, mm-hmm. Women just don't understand that shit.
Yeah. I'm super confident when I'm just wearing sweatpants all
right,
the time.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, like I haven't bought new clothes in 10 years. That's mm-hmm. how confident
Listen,
I am.
He's 20 years old. You should be glad that he's wearing shoes at all.
True. That's actually a very good point.
Yeah. Sounds like
and Sperry's are expensive.
Yeah, this kid's ahead of the game.
Yeah, this kid's probably got a fucking hedge fund or something.
I took 2 birth control pills instead of the normal one.
Yep.
I'm better protected, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Now you're really not pregnant.
Yeah. There's double
now,
it down.
Now if you get pregnant, you don't have to count that as a pregnancy.
Yeah.
What, so the kid won't you have to raise it and everything, but technically it's a virgin birth.
Yeah. I'd even triple up if you need to.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that what birth control like the morning after is?
Yeah, it's
I
like
think
a
it's just
super
like a mega
shot.
Pill.
Yeah. So just take all your pills at once. Uh-huh. That'll be fine. Wash it down with a little vodka.
Take your birth control and Plan B beforehand.
Yeah. And wash it down with a big glass of almond milk.
Yeah. And be on top. You can't get pregnant that way.
Speaking of
or
which.
Or you just wear a condom, but that's... No, you never mind. Just kidding.
Sup, guys, especially Big Cat with the juicy taint.
Ooh.
My boyfriend is trying to convince me...
That definitely sounds weird when you say it.
Just...
But yeah.
Just wait till the remix at the end of this show. My boyfriend is trying to convince me it's safe to finish in me as long as I squat down and sneeze afterwards to blow it all out. Mm-hmm. Is it true and should I trust him?
So, yeah, absolutely. First of all, yes.
Blow
this guy,
it all out like you're a fucking whale.
This guy sounds like he's a practicing Objin. Instead of using a condom, just like have a big thing of pepper next to your bedstand. So after you're done, just snort a bunch of the pepper.
Yeah.
Stare directly at the sun.
Yeah, look right in your light.
And then sneeze out all that spewge.
Yeah, do the cinnamon challenge after you have sex. Yeah. Can't get pregnant.
Well, yeah, just put it in your gash. Put a big teaspoonful of cinnamon into your
vagina. I'm just thinking about this.
Until it sneezes it out.
Oh, man.
Plug your nose and blow.
That actually is like the perfect, that's the perfect guys on chicks question too, because it's a guy who's talking like we're talking right now, but totally serious. Like, hey, honey, go squat over in the corner and sneeze until you blow that cum out.
Mm-hmm. That's self-care. It's practicing self-care.
That's great, guys.
Sup, boys, especially PFT.
Sup.
My boyfriend is a huge fan of yours. One time he made me listen to your podcast for the entirety of our 13-hour drive to and from Florida.
All right, first of all,
that's
just want to say
hours.
That's almost like waterboarding. Like listening to anybody talk for 13 hours.
Yeah.
Luckily, I thought you guys were hilarious, so now I listen to PMT with or without him. Although I love you guys, do you have any other ideas for entertainment while driving long distances?
I was gonna say jerking off, but you're a chick.
Yeah. Well, you can jill off.
Yeah. You can
drive.
Gash off.
Flick the bean.
No. Here's what you do. You don't even need
just get in the gas.
Strum the guitar.
A lot of states are hands free right now. So what you're gonna want to do is you're gonna want to just drop the trowel, and then you're gonna just ride with one of your tires on the rumble strip the whole time.
Yeah.
And just like press down against the seat. That's a really good time passer.
I mean, just start dipping. That's really it.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you dip on a road trip, it goes by a lot faster.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's hot. Guys love it. They love it. Yeah.
All right, last one. Whenever my boyfriend farts, he takes a huge whiff to see what it smells like.
Yeah.
Why do boys do this?
Because it smells great. It
smells really good.
It's my scent.
You got to make sure, too. Like, there's definitely some
Do you guys like it more when your farts smell worse?
Yeah.
Yeah, but...
Well, it depends on the circumstance. Like, if I'm going into a danger area, which is, like, packed with people, then I get a little anxiety. It's like, oh, no, if I got to let one loose, it's going to be trouble.
Yeah.
But if I'm just, like, at home, let's say it's a long weekend.
Fishbowl in the bedroom?
Yeah, let's say I'm at home all
fishbowl
alone.
Fishbowl in the sheets?
Yeah. I got the place to myself. I want a smelly fart. I don't want none of this, like, you know, silent, but, well, no, I like a silent but deadly. If it's neutral smelling, I get disappointed in myself.
Well, what we were just talking about self-care, and a guy smelling his own fart is pretty much the closest he'll get to going to the doctor. Because, like, you know when you're sick. Or something's not right. You can tell basically by your fart. So that's when I'm smelling my fart. I am going to the doctor. So if you care about self care, like racism dog watch or whatever the fuck it
racism
was,
watch talk.
You just let me smell my own farts, my own piece.
That's it.
That's it.
That was the last one.
That's so Friday we are going to have Wendell Carter Jr. Don't know what team he'll be on. And the completion of Mount Rushmore season, hint, hint, it's another Ryan, spelled differently.
Ooh, I think he just gave it away.
Yeah. Ryan Reynolds. I love
you.
Him.
I love you guys.
Pardon My Take, presented by Barstool Sports.